Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we await the arrival of fall here in the Midwest. The colors have started to come out. In fact, we're starting to lose leaves already, but very excited about that. Hey, we've got a great guest tonight. We're going to, and for our regular listeners, will know exactly what I'm saying, God's country, Estes Park, Colorado, the home of McGregor Mountain Lodge, and Michael Hodges is going to be joining us. We're going to find out what's going on out in Colorado. I'm very excited about this. I'm a little under the weather, but I would have to be on my deathbed to not be here tonight because I love Estes Park, Rocky Mountain National Park, and I'm so excited to have this hour to talk all about it, the fantastic facilities known as McGregor Mountain Lodge, and gosh, this is great. So really looking forward to tonight. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, and our technical engineer, Wayne Larson, music controlled by Jim Johnson. And from the massive Wild World News studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and I don't think ill, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Nope, I'm feeling pretty good tonight. I don't believe I've ever been sick, and I better find some wood to knock on. Oh, here we go. But, yeah, for some reason, I'm usually in pretty good shape. It could probably have something to do with the spirits that I am imbibed every so often.
Yeah, that's probably true. I was infected by young school children because we started our school tour, and I knew it. I haven't built up my immunities yet from them, so.
That's early in the year.
I know. Well, maybe it'll hit me now and go on its way, and then the rest of the year will be clear sailing.
When you see thousands of school kids every year, it's bound to happen. There's not much you can do about that.
Well, that's true, and it's, yeah, absolutely. I've learned, though, Dr. Day, through my advanced studies of this, do not drink from the school water fountains.
Or touch the school handrails. Yeah.
Well, I've learned that. So when I go into the school, it's a bottled water only, or wait till you're off the grounds. That's my new rule. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and yours truly, Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to WES 4140 North 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for October 13th. Now, we're just coming out of a full moon, and we all like to warn everybody that, you know, within a few phases of the moon, you're more likely to get bitten by an animal when the moon is full. Right? That's what we warn everybody every month.
You know, Dr. Day, in my world, it doesn't really matter.
No. Well, you're just used to it. You've been bitten by about everything that's out there.
I apologize now already, folks.
Well, we'll just have to get used to it this show, but we'll get over it.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start out tonight in Tallahassee, Florida, for one of our favorite little things on the earth. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission reports a record-high annual nest count for green turtles. 2011, and a near record for the leatherback turtle nest. Now, as we know, both species are on the federal endangered list. Now, the loggerheads, as far as I'll count this year, they didn't increase in numbers. But, you know, you can't find all the nests, so we're hoping that if there's enough food for the, you know, for the green turtles and the leatherbacks, then hopefully the loggerheads are doing just as well.
We love those baby turtles.
Yes, we do. All right. Now, I want you to turn on Blog Talk and your six tiger cages so they can hear this next story.
Okay.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You got them on? Are they listening?
Yes.
All right. The Oklahoma City Zoo is home to a litter of four Sumatran tiger cubs.
Oh, good.
And as we know, they're on the endangered species list, too.
Yes.
Now, there was one male and three males born to the parents, Surya and Rajuno.
What was that now? What was the sexes?
Surya and Rajuno.
Oh, maybe, what was, what did you say, one male and three females?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a litter of four.
Okay.
Which is pretty impressive.
Yes.
All right, now the females are named Leeklu, Lola, and Lucy.
Yeah.
Now their brother, his name is Leonidas. Now those are pretty good lion names, don't you think? I mean tiger names.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Yeah. How do you spell them?
Well, if you'd like me to.
That's okay.
Well,
carry on. I'm so sorry.
All right, well, the fishing must be good in Seattle, Washington. Chubby Harbor seal pups have been hauling out on the rocks and beaches in the last few weeks. Now, the Seal Sitters, which is a nonprofit group of trained volunteers, have counted 37 pups in the southwest Seattle neighborhood this season versus 33 from last year. And the count usually goes up to December, so I think we're going to have a record number of seal pups this year in Seattle.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep, the fishing is good.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
All right, now see if this next story doesn't remind you of a WKRP in Cincinnati episode.
Oh. Okay.
Yellville, Arkansas. The animal rights group is offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to the conviction of anyone who drops live turkeys from an airplane at the Yellwood Turkey Trot Festival, which began this last Friday. Yeah. Now, organizers say they can no longer sanction a turkey drop. I wonder why.
So
Chamber
wrong.
Of Commerce President Travis Dolcher said that the festival officials don't know who has made it a custom to drop turkeys while flying over the festival fairgrounds.
Well, I would think it would be very hard to find out. I mean, with the new FAA regulations, it's the Taliban.
Yeah, it's got to be another Taliban thing. All right, well, now here is something you can drop from the sky. Montgomery, Alabama. Helicopters will drop packets of rabies vaccines over parts of central Montgomery County, the Atougua and Elmore counties this week to try to stop the spread of the virus in the raccoons, the rabies virus. Now, what they're doing is they're wrapping the vaccine in fish meal.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, raccoons love.
Yeah.
So that's how they're dealing with the rabies and the raccoons there in Montgomery, Alabama. That's a pretty good idea.
That's a great idea. I thought you had to give it an injection so they can just ingest it. And wow.
Well, that's the way it used to be, but not anymore.
Well, that's great.
All right, before we start this next story in the U.S. territory, Puerto Rico, did you know that a bullfrog never sleeps?
Is that a fact? I never thought about
that.
That's
a fact. A bullfrog never sleeps.
I had an uncle that was like that, too.
Yeah, I had another uncle like that, too, also. all right, Puerto Rico, U.S. territory, a frog about the size of a toenail You can pick whichever toenail you want.
Yeah.
Will receive protection from the U.S. environmental officials. The Coqui Monero, which is the island's smallest tree frog, has a high-pitched call that is so high it can just barely be heard, unless you're another tree frog.
Yeah. So that's protected.
It is now.
Wow.
And since it's the size of a toenail.
Yeah.
And depending on how big you are and how big your feet are, you know, they can vary as the frog.
We got the idea.
All right. Now, before we bring Michael Hodges out, we're going to head to God's country for a couple of stories.
Oh. And that
over
would be
Colorado.
Colorado.
Now, listen to this.
Okay.
Firefighters, neighbors, and animal control officers rescued a pregnant cow that crashed through a wooden cover and fell 8 feet into the bottom of a wide well. The cow, whose name was Lucky, was hoisted to safety Saturday with fire horses and a crane. And a veterinarian checked her out and said, she's going to be all right.
How did they get it out? Fire hoses?
With a hoist.
Oh, a hoist.
Firefighters helped with a hoist and horses and a crane.
I got you. Okay.
All right, now let's head off to Durango, Colorado. Now, a beaver is blamed for power failure that left 240 Southwest Colorado utility customers without electricity. La Plata Electric Association says that a beaver felled an aspen tree, which fell across a power line. Yeah, now the Durango Herald reports that the blackout lasted just about 3 hours for residents there in the area.
You know, though, Coloradoans, they would just laugh at that and say, we'll get our power back on. I mean, they're so environmentally conscious, it's unbelievable that it wouldn't. If that happened here, they'd be out to shoot all the damn beavers in the county.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you my little connection with Colorado.
Yeah.
My great-grandfather built a log cabin about 80 miles south of Pueblo, right at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
And he and my uncle's family and the whole family that grew up in this little cabin.
Yeah.
And it's in a little area. Their address was Walsenburg.
Uh-huh.
But my uncle was a sheriff in a little town called La Vida, which is just a few miles north of the Spanish Peaks. Now, to the west of the log cabin was Silver Mountain. So when you walked out the front door of the cabin, you could see the Spanish Peaks, Silver Mountain, little cabin out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
It's just a beautiful place. But every time I visited it, I've seen pronghorn antelope, I've seen the mountain sheep, rattlesnakes, white-tailed deer, eagles. I mean, Colorado is God's country.
It truly is.
And one of my favorite places, Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
So much to see. Pikes Peak, Garden of the Gods, Cave of the Winds. Colorado is the most beautiful state in the country.
Yes, I would agree.
And that's the Wild World News for October 13th.
Well, once again, a fine job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff of investigators and so forth that puts together a Wild World News. We definitely appreciate it. We want to tell everybody to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand-new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. We'd also like to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. And, folks, I'm telling you right now is the time to go there. The weather's been absolutely fantastic. The wildlife is in the meadows, herds of elk. It's a great time to go, as we say, to God's country. Go to their website at info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. And also Cobalt Blue Press Bookstore in historic Knightstown, Indiana. The shelves are stocked with new, rare, and gently used books, including many hard-to-find children's titles. Whether it's your favorite author or subject, owner Shannon Dawson will find any book online for you. Contact her on Facebook or Twitter. That's Shannon Dawson, D-A-W-S-O-N. The store is open 7 days a week. They got free coffee, Wi-Fi, cozy reading room. It's a great place. It's on Main and Jefferson in historic and scenic Knightstown, Indiana. Also, RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And why not listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. God's Country, Estes Park, Colorado, from the McGregor Mountain Lodge, the greatest place to stay when you're in Estes Park. Proprietor Michael Hodges, Mountaineer Adventures, with us tonight. Good evening, Michael.
Hey, Larry, and thanks for having me back on. I've been excited about it.
What about that cool intro music?
That was great.
I don't know what's more appropriate. In fact, here's the truth. I think the first time I heard that song, I was camping out in Rocky Mountain National Park. So, quite perfect. How's the weather? I hate to ask this.
It's about as perfect as you could ask for. We had our first little cold snap last week and got a little dusting of snow down here at the lower elevations and left everything up high with a nice blanket of white on it. But now it's about perfect. It was, I'd say mid-60s today, and blue skies, the blue Colorado skies, and the White Cat Mountains, and just a little breeze, and it looks to be the same for the next four or five days. So we're really enjoying it, just taking advantage before the snow starts to fly.
Well, that's true. I have to tell you a little story. Years ago, we wanted to paint our bathroom, and I told my wife, I said, let's paint it Colorado blue sky color. So I had one of the times we'd been out there. In fact, my wife, the first time she went out there was on our honeymoon. We stayed there at McGregor, and we took one of the photographs of that trip, and I took it into the paint store. They've got a computer thing that can, you know, match that color perfectly. And when we put it on the wall, we thought to ourselves, there's nothing this blue. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it is, yeah. It's something you don't see really anywhere else. It's pretty awesome.
You know, and I've always said that when you go out there, and for someone that has never had the opportunity to go west and be in places like Rocky Mountain National Park or some of the other... I'm partial to Rocky because I went there as a child, and for year after year after year, and it just seems like home to me, but it's just so spiritual. I mean, it opens up all your senses.
Oh, it does. Yeah, it's definitely something special about it that sticks. That's, you know, why I'm still up here. I just came up here throughout college to go backpacking and climbing in the park and decided to come up for a summer and right after college and stuck around. So there's definitely something that pulls on your heart and keeps you yearning for more. And it's a special place, that's for sure.
And you have a new addition to the family who is lucky enough to be born in Estes Park, Colorado. My Lord. So how's she doing, Michael?
She's doing fantastic. She's about 4.5 months old now. Her name is Elena. We're calling her Lainey. And, she's doing fantastic, just growing and... We're getting her out on some hikes when we can, and definitely enjoying her. It's been a blast.
So she's
sleeping great, so we're catching up on our sleep and everything. So that's a bonus too.
Well, that is. In fact, you said before we went on the air that she's just gone to bed and she won't be up till 7:30 in the morning. There's parents out there right now that are thinking, "Oh my gosh, that is amazing."
Yeah, it's pretty great. We lucked out for sure.
So how did the dogs, have they taken up with the new addition?
You know, they just really don't care. They could care less. Daisy, the first time, right when we brought Elena home from the hospital, I held her down, and Daisy, my big Chesapeake Bay Retriever, she came up and sniffed her a couple times and then sneezed and then just walked away, and that was the last time that she's ever really acknowledged her. So that was it.
That's funny. Well, what a lucky young lady that's going to be. And I just go ahead and load your shotgun, Michael. Oh, it's handy.
Yeah, that's right. I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Get that out of the way.
So what new adventure? I know you're busy with the new youngster, but have you been on any adventures out there in the park recently?
Oh, no. Are you all there?
Yeah, we're here. Hello?
Oh, good grief. Hello?
Hello?
We still have him. I'm thinking maybe he might have hit something on his phone.
Oh, no. Can y'all hear me?
Let's dial him back if he can't hear us.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wait for him to hang up. But, okay, yeah, let me go ahead and...
I can hear you now. I don't know what just happened.
Okay.
Okay,
We weren't worried because we've had this happen before, and we blame it on the Taliban every time it does.
Oh, okay.
So,
good. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's fine. So have you been on any new adventures, Michael, there in the park? Did we lose him again?
No way.
No, he should be able to hear us. We still have him because I can hear him on our end.
Yeah, we can hear him fine. So, Henry Day.
Is that any better?
Can you hear me now, Michael? So Henry Day, while we try to figure this out, did we ever mention on air about my adventure in Rocky Mountain National Park?
No, we didn't. About your encounter with the snowstorm?
Yes, with my encounter with the snowstorm.
No, I don't believe we had mentioned that so far.
Well.
Can you hear?
Can you hear us, Michael? We'll just have to wait for...
Yeah, he can't hear, so let me see if I can try to get him on another line. Hold on.
Okay, all right. So here was what was happening, Dr. Day. We were Rocky Mountain National Park is there's what's called the east and the west side, which is joined by the highest continuous highway that goes to an altitude of over 12,000 feet. It's called Trail Ridge Road. And when you're out there in the spring, sometimes the road you'll go across the road to the east to the west side, and a huge snowstorm will come through, which will close the road immediately until maybe the next day they'll try and reopen it, or the day after that they'll try and reopen it. Well, what had happened was that we had gone to the west side, and while we were gone over there, and we were camped on the east side, the snowstorm rolled through, so they closed Trail Ridge Road, and so we weren't aware of this, so we're heading back to cross the road, and we come up to this barricade which says you cannot go any further, which meant that we'd have to make a 200-mile round trip to get back to where we were camped in the park by Estes Park, Colorado. Are you following
me?
Yes.
Gentlemen, I have Mr. Hodges back.
Oh, great. It's the Taliban. Right?
Hey there. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened there.
I don't either. I was proceeding with my story while we lost you for a few moments about my adventure on Trail Ridge Road. I don't know if I'd ever told you this before, Michael. But we had been out there camping, and I think we were camping in Moraine Park on the east side of the park, and we one day decided to go over to the west side of the park, and we were out there in, I'm thinking, the 1st of June, the end of May. And as I was explaining to our listeners, that you can drive over that road, and if a snowstorm rolls through, they'll close it, and it won't be open until the next day. So we were over at the west side, and we're going back up, and we're up there by the visitor center, and there's that barricade down saying the road's closed. We're thinking, oh, my gosh, which meant, as you know, about, I don't know, what is it, 200 miles around if you go around the other way back to the Estes Park, probably?
Yeah, that's a long haul.
That's a long haul. Well, about that time, a guy rolled up in a Jeep, and he says, I'm going to drive around that barricade, and he says, if you want to do the same, if you get stuck, I'll pull you out. He said, I can't drive around 200 miles to get back to Estes Park. So we were young and not very bright, and we drove around the barricade, followed the Jeep, and we got to about Rainbow Curve, and the snow was so deep that we got stuck. And he proceeded to tell us that he was too cold and he'd have to keep going. And this was about dusk.
Yeah.
So we spent the night on Trail Ridge Road on Rainbow Curve, and they apparently had a blizzard that night. And we were told later that the temperatures were like 40 below zero.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And 7 o'clock the next morning. Well, what was really scary is the guys who were with us said, hey, let's walk back to the visitor center and see if we can use a phone. I said, no. We're not walking around anywhere. It's almost dark.
Yeah.
We're staying in the car with a quarter tank of gas, by the way. So, sure enough, the snow plows about 7 o'clock in the morning started heading across the road, and we could see the snow shooting up in the air. And they got up to the car, and the guy said, we almost didn't do this today. He said, we were almost just going to say, heck with it. I thought, I'm so glad. I am so glad. Of course,
yeah, that's all we're good. That was probably an uncomfortable night.
Oh, it was cold. You'd run in the car a little bit, then you'd fall asleep, and your hair would freeze to the window, and you'd wake up and pull out hunks of hair, and it was
all kinds of fun.
But you know, there's not too many people that have spent all night up on Trail Ridge Road during a blizzard. So, in some respects,
that's true. You're probably one of the few.
One of the toughest. So what adventures have you gone on at the park after I tell that story?
Yeah, that's right. had a pretty good one. When was it now? Maybe 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Went to one of the more remote lakes in the park, Lake Powell.
It's
kind of on the upper reaches of North Inlet, or just over where Lion Lakes is and Wild Basin, if you go in between up and over the saddle of Chief's Head and Mount Alice.
Yeah.
It's kind of on the other side, down in those upper reaches of North Inlet. So a good friend of mine, Eric Stensland, he's a photographer here in town, and has a little gallery in town and everything, and he likes to be at some of these
you know, real dramatic places with that sweet light, you know, right at sunrise or sunset. So
oh, yeah.
He usually goes out for some really, really good adventures at all hours of the day or night. And so he recruited me and another buddy to head out to Lake Powell. And it was fantastic. It's about 10 miles one way to get there, so it's definitely a hefty hike.
Ooh.
But yeah, it was just spectacular. So you take, you know, it takes you through Wild Basin, so you pass Ouzel Falls and Calypso Cascades, and then take the Lion Lake Trail up through Lion Lakes area down below Alice and Chisa. And that's just, every time I go there, it just reaffirms that it's one of the most, if not the most beautiful valley in the park. It's just amazing. There's waterfalls coming down from all the cliffs and flowers and lakes and streams, and it's fantastic. Tons of wildlife every time I go, and it was never disappoints. So yeah, you pass through there and you climb up through Lion Lake, beside Lion Lake number 2 and Snowbank Lake, and then head up over that saddle between Alice and Chisa, then drop back down this real steep ridge down to Lake Powell. And it was quite the adventure for sure.
Well, it's really a shame, but then again, it's not the more, you know, so many people enjoy the park with their cars and so forth, but man, the true adventure is the hikes. It doesn't have to be 10 miles one way. I mean, even
the short jumps
and through Bear Lake Campground and Glacier Basin, and of course the trails that go off over there at Wild Basin are pretty incredible. As well as doesn't the Long Peak Trail start there as well, the highest point in the park?
Near there. It starts if you're heading south on Highway 7 from Estes Park. You'll run into the Long Peak Trail just a few miles before you get down to Wild Basin. But yeah, it's down that way. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Michael Hodges with McGregor Mountain Lodge. We're out in beautiful, scenic God's Country, Estes Park, Colorado. We're going to take a short break. Folks, you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting?
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
It's Bobcat, Abby. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, not.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We'll be right back with Michael Hodges from McGregor Mountain Lodge in Estes Park, Colorado. We want to remind everyone that next week on the program, another great show, Chris France returns from the classic band Talking Heads and just got back from his recent tour with his second band, Tom Tom Club, with his wife, Tina Weymouth. And they'll be joining us next week here on the program, so we hope you have a chance to tune in. And the week after, brand-new country singer from all, gosh, of all places, man, British Columbia, Carrie Lee Manuel will be joining us, and we're looking forward to that. She's got some great music, so we're going country in a couple weeks, so we hope you have a chance to tune in. And we also remind you, become a friend of the show, and you'll receive emails reminding you of the broadcast. And also, all programs can be downloaded after the live broadcast forever, absolutely free of charge. So check out our older shows and tell your friends. We love all the listeners. We've had tens of thousands of downloads each year, and we do appreciate your support. Also, we'd like to thank iKidsFishing.com. It's the first kids fishing show in the USA, starring kids, teaching kids how to fish. That's just genius. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info at WEWANCHU Cottages. We want you cottages at Chautauqua Lake in western New York. That's www.wewantyou.com. Also, a big thank you to Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call, 317-243-0700. And also a big thank you to all the individual underwriters that support our show. We really appreciate that. You can go to our website at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and you'll see how to contact us and become an individual underwriter, such as Jeannie Harold and Harley Gines. We do appreciate their support. As I mentioned, from McGregor Mountain Lodge, we call it God's Country in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. Mountaineer, adventurer, and a guy that must have lungs the size of North Dakota, Michael Hodges is with us. So, Michael, I am so amazed when I read about these marathons that you run in the altitude where it's almost impossible to breathe.
It does. It adds another little twist to it. Definitely.
My gosh. You know, I can still remember the first time my wife went out there, and she was dealing with all the problems, that the symptoms you do with high altitude. And she thought she just wasn't feeling well, and then realized that when she sat down, we were eating dinner at, I don't know if they're still open, the Bighorn Restaurant.
Oh, yeah, they're still around.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we were enjoying dinner there, and they had a placemat. They said the symptoms of high altitude. She goes, this is what I'm experiencing. I'm absolutely doing the wrong things.
That's right. This is what's going on. Yep. Yeah, we get that all the time here at the lodge, too.
I'll bet.
And it's funny how it hits you different, you know. A lot of people have been coming up here for 10, 15 years, you know, every year, and they've never had an issue. They come up one time, and they have to leave early because they're so sick from it. So it's really,
well, that's
it's really funny how it affects you different. Yeah, yeah. And you'll have people, young, fit, you know, marathon runners come up, and they can't handle it. And you'll have, you know, a 90-year-old on oxygen come up and feel better at altitude than he does down in, you know, Kansas City or wherever he's from. So it's amazing what the body can handle and how it responds differently each time, too. So it's definitely throws a new little wrench into plans when you come up here. So it's definitely something to consider and kind of plan for. So
yeah.
But then, you know, with that said, there's easy ways to avoid it and kind of take precautions. The main thing that we tell people is just drink as much water as you can. You know, don't worry about going to the bathroom too much. Just you know, drink as much as humanly possible and don't diet. You know, eat as much as you can too, and that tends to help the body kind of even out a little quicker.
Well, that's true, and I would always found that something about that place gives you a robust appetite. And
it does, and that's part of it.
We'd head down to the restaurant after we'd leave our little cabin. We got one cabin you have there, the one clear on the end of the very front that we'd always stay in.
Yeah,
closest to the mountains. That's our little special niche, and
that's right.
And then we'd head down every morning after we'd get up, and we'd go down, and my wife would be sickened because I'd order trout with eggs.
Yeah.
To watch me eat that.
I'm
telling you, what a magnificent place. So now that is the elk rut season still in force? Are the people still coming down to watch that?
Definitely, yeah. This is kind of the last big weekend of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts up mid-December, then it lasts for about a month, typically, goes through mid-October. And you have a little, you know, some guys getting ahead of the game in late August, early September, then some will, you know, keep bugling until early November. So you get some of it there for a couple months, but the bulk of it, the real good stuff's in that month span, usually peaking around the 1st of October. But this weekend's kind of the last big weekend, and the calendar at the lodge kind of shows that too. So it gets a little quieter after this weekend, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of the way it goes up here. The summer's our busy season, and the fall kind of extends that, then the winter's real nice and quiet. But yeah, the elk are doing their thing now, and it's awesome, you know, just leaving the windows open in the evenings, and you can hear those bugles just echoing through the valley, and it's fantastic.
It's the most breathtaking sound one can hear. It's just absolutely. Now, what about the aspens? Have they dropped their leaves now? Is it?
You know, up in the park, they're pretty much done. That peaked maybe about a week, 10 days ago.
Yeah.
But down in town, like right here at the lodge, a lot of our trees are going to be peaking here in the next couple of days. So around town, it's absolutely gorgeous right now. It's about perfect. And then up in the higher elevations, it's a little beyond, you know, it's kind of over. And we had a bunch of wind with this front that moved through last weekend. So that blew a lot of those stragglers off, especially up high. But down around town, and then as you're coming up from, you know, Boulder, Fort Collins and everything, it's really pretty.
Well, to the people that have never been to Estes Park, Colorado, it is the most amazing town. It's kind of like a Swiss village in a way. And, of course, surrounded by these magnificent mountains, the Front Range. I mean, when you come out of Big Thompson Canyon and you come over that rise and there's Hallett's Peak, all these other mountains, and then Estes Park, that's probably one of the most breathtaking sights one could ever take in.
Oh, it is, yeah, right when you pop around that corner and all the mountains just kind of hit you in the face and all of a sudden you're there, you know, it's great. I don't ever get tired of that, even when I, you know, go down to Loveland or Fort Collins, you know, done that I don't know how many times since I've lived up here, and it never gets old. And you come back into town, it's like, oh, wow, I actually live here. It's pretty awesome.
Yes, it's very awesome, and that's one of the saddest sights you see when you go back over that, when you're heading to the airport in Denver or driving.
Yep. 30. Seeing that in the rearview mirror.
Oh. Well, I have to tell you, Michael, when we would go out to Colorado, my mother was absolutely terrified of Interstate 70. So we would drive U.S. 36 all the way across the country to Code Estes Park, which meant with four kids, 3 days. And...
Yeah.
When you're heading into eastern Colorado and you're looking at the clouds, you go, I think I can see mountains. No. I mean, that is
clouds.
It's clouds. And then when you finally get your first view of the Front Range, and as you get closer and closer, I mean, it's just like Christmas morning. I mean, there is nothing more exciting. It's the place. Folks, a week is not enough. I mean, any time you could spend out there, but a week is not enough. And the fantastic facilities Michael has there at McGregor's, I mean, we woke up one morning, we'd gone up into the park to see bighorn sheep at Sheep Lake there in Horseshoe Park, and we walk out of the cabin and the sheep are in the backyard.
Yep, and we get that all the time. It's funny, we get, our property is really on one of the best mountainside slopes to see bighorn sheep almost in the state, but definitely in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It's the south-facing slope, basically just on the southern edge of the Mummy Range. It's just a perfect habitat for them. We get two of the main herds, and they'll be at the lodge, you know, especially in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, they spend a little more time up high, but in the winter, we see them quite a bit in the spring. And we'll have guests who come just to see them, you know, then they go out all day looking for them. And they'll come back, and, oh, you know, we went to all these different places. We went here, here, and here, and, oh, no luck at all. And, you know, I'll show them pictures, you know, 50 pictures I took when the sheep were napping on the hillside right behind their cabin. You know,
uh-huh.
So they get
pretty upset about it. It's like, you just got to stick around, grab a cup of coffee and look out your window and let them walk right by.
Well, we come home from dinner one time, and I was walking down the steps to our cabin, and I looked in the front yard. It was dark, and I thought to myself, boy, that is one of those best-looking ceramic deer I've ever seen. Then it dawned on me, they don't have any ceramic deer here in the front yard. About that time, its head went up.
You know, that's right.
It's just phenomenal. Of course, the old story that I always tell is friends of mine, we went out to the western part of the park in the Never Summer Range, and we took at that time, the Specimen Mountain hike was open all the way to the summit, so you could climb all the way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go, I understand, during particular times of the year, just to the crater.
Yeah.
So we had gone out there. It was end of May and June. It might have been the same trip that we did the Trail Ridge Road Miss, the bad trip. And I told them, I said, we need to hike up to this crater to see bighorn sheep. So, Michael, it was a situation where so much snow on the ground still that you'd walk along these snow fields and all of a sudden you'd break through up to your armpits. And everybody would have to pull you out. The Rangers had I forget what they called that. They had a technical.
Oh, the only term I know is post-holing is what we call it.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's what they called it, too.
Yeah.
So we'd gotten up there. Normally that hike, you know, it's like at the most an hour, hour and a half. It took us like 4 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that snow like that will slow you down.
So we finally got up to the crater. Man, it was absolutely magnificent. We saw all kinds of sheep and everything. And so we're coming back down, but we got off the trail, and when we got down to the road, we couldn't really see any mountains. So I didn't know whether we were above the parking lot for the trailhead or below it. So after I looked long enough, I thought, well, we have to be below it. So we started walking up the road. As we're walking toward the parking lot, the parking lot's full of people. I said, wow. I said, they had a lot of hikers up Specimen Mountain today. This is amazing. And as we got closer and closer, we realized why all the cars were there. The bighorn sheep were basically at the trailhead.
And
we're at the trailhead. And those guys, they started cussing me. They go, why did we climb clear up that mountain?
That's great.
They're in the parking lot.
Yep. You kind of alluded to that earlier. You know, it's that's the thing about Rocky is you can go on these awesome backcountry, have this awesome backcountry experience, but you don't necessarily have to. You know, it's pretty accessible anywhere you go. It's pretty nice.
Oh, it is, and it's such a changing environment that any time you drive through the park, it never seems the same. I mean, people would always say to me, "says you go out there every year." And I say, yeah. He said, don't you want to go anywhere else? Not really. I don't really have it. Have you ever been? Yeah, I've been to Yellowstone. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Been to Glacier. It's okay. Just something about that park that is just, as I mentioned earlier, just spiritual. It's just amazing.
It is. Yeah.
So the highest point of the park, for the folks that may not know this, is Long's Peak. What is that altitude, Michael?
It's 14,259 feet.
And that's an all-day deal. Now, how many times have you ventured up to the summit of Long's Peak?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. It's either 11 or 12, but I don't know. I was trying to think about it, and I couldn't come up with an exact number. But it's definitely over 10 now. It's one I try to do at least once a year, if not a couple times. And it's just it can be pretty crowded, so I kind of try to do it in the shoulder seasons instead of midsummer. But it is, it's kind of if you're a peak bagger and enjoy summiting mountains, it's kind of on the top of your list, regardless. So you get people from all over the world coming to summit Long's Peak. Pretty special hill, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that you and your friends had a deal that one year that you were trying to go up the Flat Top and Hallett's Peak every at least once a month, even through the winter months. Did you successfully do that?
We failed miserably at that.
Oh.
So, we went. I'm trying to think. I don't even think we made it to March. We started in January. Did January. No, this is what happened. So we did January. All went fine.
Yeah.
In February, and the only day, and the buddy of mine, I did it. He works 1 week in Kansas, and then he's back home with his family here for a week.
Uh-huh.
So basically, we only have a short little window. Then I have to have a day off, you know, and we'll go
right.
do it. So we didn't have too, we don't have too many chances. So February, the day we picked, it was early February, and we went up, and it was just horrible. The wind was, I don't even know how hard it was blowing, and so we were pretty grumpy once we got above tree line anyway, just because it was pretty nasty. So we're going, and I was switching one of my glove liners out because I'd been sweating down below tree line, and I was switching one of my glove liners out, and my glove blew away. And, yeah, and I had an extra one, but I guess my bladder and my pack had leaked, and so it had gotten my glove wet, and then my glove was frozen down in the bottom of my pack. So that kind of nixed that one. So then we said, okay, well, we'll just go again next time Alan's home. And so we tried it again and kind of hit the same kind of stuff and weren't feeling it that day either.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, we'll do it later in the week. And that didn't happen. So we said, okay, well, to make up for it in March, we have to do it twice in one day.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah, so we made it up the first time, made it up once, and then went back down. And it was another one of those days just blowing real hard and real nasty. And then at tree line on the way up the second time, we're like, no, forget it. We're tired of this today. So so I turned around, and then we're like, well, if we didn't do it, we didn't do it. So we kind of bailed on that whole thing. But we just talked about it. Actually, it's funny you brought that up because we just talked about it, oh, gosh, not even a week ago, about starting again in January and trying it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be fun. Just to get it, basically just to get us out. As runners now, you know, it was more into mountaineering and climbing a little while back and then kind of got the running bug. And so it's hard to get out for a run sometimes in those winter months when it's blowing like that and snowy and cold. So that's just kind of a way to keep us active and give us a little goal to shoot for, an excuse to get out and summit a mountain.
Well, I know it's not considered a tough hike. Though for the park, I remember as a youngster, I went up there with a ranger. It was pretty, when I got back, I was pooped, and I was in pretty good shape then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, you're right, it is one of the easier ones, and definitely the easiest way to access the divide.
Yeah.
But it's still a serious undertaking. It's you're going to feel it after you climb Hallett Peak. It's a good one.
So have you ever tried Long's Peak in bad weather or colder months?
Yeah, I've done, I think two winter ascents. I guess the worst one was in February of 07, I believe. And that was pretty bad. That was the strongest wind I've ever been in. And we made it up, just did the loft route, trough route. So we went up through Glacier Gorge, up above Black Lake, and then just climbed the trough all the way up.
Yeah.
And then you rejoin the traditional keyhole route into the base or at the upper reaches of the trough, and then do the narrows and home stretch above that. And that all went really well on the way up, and on the way down, the wind really, really picked up. It was an okay day as far as weather is concerned. It wasn't snowing or anything like that, but the wind was just really bad, and it was really cold. I forget what the temperature was. It was definitely in the single digits, but that wind, I don't know what it was, but it was hard to stand up. And when we came down the home stretch, turned back onto the top of the narrow section, which is just kind of a,
yeah.
I don't know, it's maybe a 5 foot wide ledge on this cliff.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to down climb this little section down below the home stretch to act, you know, get on the, I guess, narrows proper, if you will. And right when we turned that corner, that wind hit us so hard, and both of us, we were literally 2 feet away from each other screaming and couldn't hear each other talk.
Oh.
And so we just, you know, pointed, like, let's just, you know, get out of here, because we were thinking about descending down below the narrows and then crossing over into the Keyboard of the Winds and descending one of those couloirs there. But we just kind of pointed, let's just get out, let's just do these narrows real quick. And right when we turned further around that corner, and we talked about it once we were back in the trough, the wind had actually hit our eyes so hard that it blew into our eyelids, like in between our eyelid and our eyeball,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like flapped our eyelids on top of our eyeball. And we were,
oh,
new experience for both of us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it was hard. You know,
just have to squint your eyes closed as hard as you can, because neither one of us brought goggles for some stupid reason. We just had sunglasses on, so it wasn't too protected from the wind. That wind got up underneath the eyelid, and that was definitely a new feeling for both of us.
Well, you know, supposedly Enos Mills climbed down that mountain snow-blinded.
Mm-hmm.
And made
it'd be doable, but, man, that'd be scary.
Oh, my gosh, I couldn't even imagine. Well, that's thank goodness you guys were as experienced as you were, because that could be a fatal trip for someone that didn't know they would even try.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, Long's Peak is definitely one that you better have a decent amount of experience going into that, even in the summertime. But in the wintertime, it's definitely not one just to casually attempt in the wintertime. That'll definitely put the hurt on you, if not kill you, if you're not experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. So the majority of your guests that come to McGregor, is there a particular destination that they have when they come to the park, or one favorite thing?
You know what? It really varies. You know, in the summertime, we get a lot of folks who come to climb Longs. I wouldn't say a lot, but it's noticeable, you know, because they're excited about it and they talk about it. So we hear about that that destination, if that's what they're coming to do.
Yeah.
But a lot, you know, do the typical Emerald Lake hike from Bear Lake, which is, for those listening, if you're not experienced with the park, that's one that I'd recommend. The first thing you do is drive up to Bear Lake and do that hike up to Emerald Lake. It'll take you past Nymph Lake and Dream Lake, and it's about a little over, what would that be, it's about 3.5 miles round trip, so it's not terribly far.
Yeah.
But it just takes you to that classic Rocky Mountain National Park scenery, just absolutely beautiful, easily accessible. You will have a few people on that trail, because it is, you know, there's a reason why there'd be a few people.
Yeah.
Because it is so beautiful, but it's one that you don't want to miss. So we get a lot of people coming just to do that. And then Glacier Gorge, Alberta Falls, Mills Lake, the Lock, a lot of that stuff there too.
Have they closed Trail Ridge Road now?
I have not heard the official word that it's closed for the season. It's been closed this past week, just because they did get quite a bit of snow. If I had to guess, I'd say they would open it back up with how warm it was today and how warm it's supposed to be the next few days.
Well, it's an absolutely spectacular drive. I mean, that's the crown jewel of the park, basically.
And it is, definitely.
It's the most amazing scenery. And, of course, it is the highest continuous highway in North America, is my understanding. There may be one up in Alaska, at least the lower 48 for sure.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely spectacular. And the whole place, and like I'm telling my listeners, in fact, our good friend Willie Wilcox from the band Utopia, he is determined to head out to Rocky Mountain National Park because of our recommendations and to stay at McGregor Mountain Lodge, and we certainly hope he does so, because as I've told everyone, and Dr. Day will attest to this, that is God's country. That's the place. That's my favorite place. Of course, here's the deal, Michael. I go out there and it's a crowd of people. Rah, 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 rah. Well, I want this place to myself, you know. So,
yep.
There's sometimes. But gosh, it's just magnificent. And even just through this phone line, I can sense the Rocky Mountain high, the experience of Estes Park and the park and everything involved around it, and the sound of rushing water and the wind going through the aspens, and it's just phenomenal. What a great place, and you are such a lucky man.
Yeah, I feel pretty fortunate to get to live up here, definitely. It's been a huge blessing. Get to experience this, and I'm really excited about getting having a child here and having Lainey grow up here, and that's going to be a pretty amazing thing. So we feel pretty blessed and fortunate to be where we are. Couldn't ask for anything better.
I still tell the story. We were up at Bear Lake parking lot one year, and up pulled a Isuzu or one of the SUVs, and guy parked it, and he opened up the back hatch, and out popped this llama that was riding in the back of the SUV, and he proceeded to put a saddle on that llama, and the next thing I knew, he'd taken his youngster out of the baby seat in his truck and put it on the llama, and they took off up on a hike up at Bear Lake on an absolutely beautiful day.
And oh, that's great.
I thought that's pretty cool. That is
yep.
Pretty cool. Well, Michael, there's two things. I want to thank you so much for being on the show because we definitely love the place. I also want to thank you for your support of Larry Batson's Wild World. It's phenomenal, McGregor Mountain Lodge. And let's give them that website again and how to get a hold of you so they can head out your way.
Yeah, the website's just McGregorMountainLodge.com. And there's phone numbers and email, a bunch of contact info on the site there. But, yeah, check us out and call with any questions you have at all. We'd love to have any and all of you up here.
Yeah, well, how's the feeling about, I know, about baby baboons staying at the lodge?
There may be an issue with that. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to check. But,
Well, if you saw this one, there would be many issues, and I'm afraid we
oh,
would
boy.
Completely destroy our relationship.
She's
but the
just,
monkey,
oh, no.
The monkey would have a great time, I'm sure. Great show,
oh, I'm sure.
Dr. Day.
Great show, yeah. Everybody, and you know, we've talked about the bad weather, but they do an excellent job of keeping the roads clean there in the park. Usually no problem getting anywhere, you know,
no.
Particular roads
oh, no.
are closed, but head out and see Michael Hodges Lodges. You won't be disappointed.
Absolutely. We'd like to thank Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson, of course, Jim Johnson for the music. Have a great week, everybody. Don't forget next week on the program, Chris France from Talking Heads. Folks, you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.